Blog Talk Radio.
Which means good evening or good night in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your host, your friend, as always, Tazapa. Welcome to the show, everybody. I would like to apologize. The notifications did not go out like they usually do. So my apologies for that. But if you're listening in, if you could please tell everybody that the show is going down and to tune in the blog talk, that would be to WAB. Give me just a second, y'all. Let me do this. I'm still on, y'all. Just texting and letting everybody know. Should have did this before. My bad, y'all. But yeah, man. Shalom, everybody. Hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody's in good spirits. It's been a trying couple of days here, man. But we're gonna make it through. It's gonna be all right, man. I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools, man. Shouts out to the brothers here in San Antonio, led by the brother of war. Also, shouts out to Quatazab down in H-Town. Shouts out to Kazakia up in VA and Zionala up in Rochester. Shouts out to our brothers and sisters in Canada, California, Atlanta. And shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala. I want to send a special shout out and a special acknowledgement to the brother Aisha, man. Aisha Wakaza. Shout out to you, brother, once again, man, in the water. And you know what I'm talking about. He's a very dynamic brother, man. And very appreciated, man. I just wanted to send him a special shout out and my appreciation, man. Let me go ahead and get into it, y'all. And I know that I've been having this title, and y'all didn't get the link, but it should be on the archive shows. But FYI, are they like us? I know I had it on Never Wax Pale, too. This is a topic I've been trying to get off my chest, man, for about a week and a half. But we're going to get to it tonight, y'all. We're going to get to it tonight. Let me go ahead and read the introductory scriptures. That's my baby out here in the background. Let's go ahead and get into it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, man, I don't know if y'all really realize that this place is so destructive, so ugly, so vile, so disgusting, and so consuming. This place will consume you if you let it, man. This is why we need the book. We need the instruction manual of the book, and we need to apply the book. And we need to be sending up this prayer like Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Christ, instructed us to do when we pray. Send this up. Before you start asking the Most High, petitioning the Most High for what you want, what you need, send this prayer up first, please. Please. So we can get the hell on, man. So we can get out of here. For real, man. This is a place we were brought for our punishment, not for a reward. This is not a reward, y'all. This is not a reward. To be in this place where you're constantly having to fight for your spirit, to keep your spirit and your mind right. This is not a reward, man. So I'm begging of y'all. I'm going to use Paul's terminology. I beseech thee. Send this prayer up on a daily as often as you can. I know a lot of brothers and sisters pray three times a day or even more. I ain't got there yet, y'all. It's my confession. I get it in once when I get up in the morning. I'm working on it. I'm going to get there to where I'm praying three times a day. But send this prayer up, y'all, so we can truly get the hell up out of here. All right, y'all. Get off my soapbox. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all, so this topic, man, Or They Like Us, was inspired by an interview that I seen a couple of weeks back when Umar Johnson was on The Breakfast Club, and he was talking about how he started off talking about bunny hoppers, and then he started naming brothers that was bunny hoppers, and he put Kobe in the mix, talking about Kobe's widow, Vanessa Bryant. And as far as I know, last time I checked, she was so-called Mexican. And then he's even going in on the immigrants and talking about siding with Trump from the aspect of, yeah, they are taking black jobs. This is what he was saying. And it disturbed me because for as much as he's intellectual, and the brother knows a lot of things, and he does a good job with his counseling as far as the family, man. But that statement was ignorantly based, man. And I'm not trying to do this for no damn clickbait or bring his name up just so people can tune in and it'd be some type of beef or no nonsense like that, man. Class was put on my mind for edification, man. I was like, man, how many of our people think like this? But this is the reason we still in the conditions that we in, man, because we truly believe that we're different from our so-called migrant brothers and sisters. And I'm talking about our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, our Native American brothers and sisters. We're not different, y'all. How can we be different when we suffer at the hands of the same oppressor and go through the same damn oppressions? That makes no sense. And you know what else bothered me was he was on this thing about color. As I've noticed and witnessed a lot of brothers, especially the Negro-only brothers, to the point to where the 10 tribes had to come up, not eight, the Northern Kingdom, and they excluding Judah. It's just a bunch of nonsense, man, that keeps us divided and keeps us from getting the hell up out of here. We really have deeply rooted psychological issues that Esau, the so-called white man, plays on. And we allow him to do it because we're ignorant of our history. So this is my attempt to inform, to edify, to educate brothers and sisters, whether you be in Israel or out of Israel, on some truths about our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, man. All right, Cece, I hear you over there, baby. You're recording. You're going to be recorded, Cece. Going to be archived. All right, y'all. So the scripture I want to start off with is Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. All right, so Hosea chapter 1 verse 10, and it reads, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered." I love this scripture. It's beautiful because it gives an example, that being the sand of the sea. But then it goes on to break down what the prophet is meaning by this example. And he's saying, man, we can't be numbered. The children of Israel cannot be numbered. It's a lot of us. I hope everybody's understanding this. And let's read this scripture with some real understanding. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10 again. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place," listen to this, "where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, like we be saying. Them ain't our people. They not like us. That's why I titled this. Or they like us. Like, them ain't our people, because I hear black people say this all day, man. And I'm from the Midwest, y'all. I'm from Missouri. I'm from St. Louis. And growing up in the Midwest, man, I know myself, probably in Chicago and Detroit and Minnesota, Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters were prevalent. But in St. Louis, not so much. Now, they probably are now, because when I was leaving, I left St. Louis back in 04. But when I was right before I was leaving St. Louis, it was an influx of so-called Mexicans moving to St. Louis. And they had their own little area down on the south side. I don't know if they still have it, but right there off of is that Jefferson? Yeah, I think that is Jefferson, because the cross street is Graboids. Yeah, if you go South Jefferson, like you headed down towards like Lee May and all of that, you'll run into it. But way before you get to South County, though, y'all. But they had a whole little area down there off of Cherokee, I believe it was. But Issaquah had their little shops. They sold their little foods and stuff. Like I said, I ain't been to St. Louis in a minute, but when I was there, it was a heavy influx of so-called Mexican brothers and sisters that had populated that area. And matter of fact, I used to work with the city when I was in St. Louis, and I ended up working with one of the brothers that was newly there, this Mexican brother, so-called Mexican brother. Man, what was his name? Oh, man, I forget the brother's name. But my goodness, man, he would work his ass off. He would work so hard, we have to tell him to sit down, man, because he's making us look bad. What was that brother's name? It was Dre. We called him Dre for short, but I think his real name was Andreas, I believe it was. But back to my point. So I wasn't really familiar with Issaquah like that. You know, I've always been fascinated with history. So I knew that somehow we were linked. I just didn't know how, because I knew it was pyramids found in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? I knew that. But anyway, when I moved down here and I seen so many Mexicans, so-called Mexicans, and I was like, wow, you know, it opened my eyes up. It was really a culture shock for me to see and experience. And then I got down here and I started running into black people. And me being, like I said, a history buff, already knew that we were connected. I was connected with these people, but I just didn't know how. You know, I couldn't prove it. I just knew it was some type of connection, because I knew about the pyramids that they had found in Mexico City. And I was on that, you know, I thought we was Africans, thought we was Egyptians. I knew it was pyramids in Egypt. And this is before I even got the truth dropped on me, y'all. But I just knew these things, just in my spirit. But I would run across brothers and sisters that would be like, oh, the Mexicans. And they had a disdain and a hate for so-called Mexicans. And I was like, what they tripping off of? I'm like, man, these people are ignorant. They don't know history. You know, because I never felt like that. I still don't feel like that. But I still hear it and I still see it from so-called black people, where they can't stand Issaquah. They can't stand the so-called Mexicans. And on the other end, I've seen so-called Mexicans hate the hell out of Judah or so-called black people. Don't fool with them. Mayates. That's what they call us. And it's weird, the so-called Mexicans here in San Antonio, because some of them are real cool. They're real cool, and they'll mess with you, and they don't see a difference. But a lot of them, they roll like Esau. They straight up think they're Edomites. I call them Edom car, because that's how they roll. They roll straight up like Esau, man. But my point in this, I'm going to read the scripture again, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, this is the part I want to get to, y'all, ye are not my people. Like we be saying, Damascus. They ain't our people. It says, there it shall be said unto them, meaning unto all us, running around talking about it, they ain't our people. Ye are the sons of the living God. No doubt, man. And I know we use this scripture to say it's talking about Esau, and it is. But a lot of us are here under an American mindset and the Edomite mentality to where we think we're not connected with these brothers and sisters. All right, y'all. So let's go on a little history lesson. And I broke this down umpteen times, but I'm going to do it again. I mean, that's all we doing when we teaching anyway, man. None of the stuff that we coming out with, none of the classes we coming up with, the concepts, this ain't nothing new. All we doing is remixing the Bible, man. That's it. All right, y'all. So let's go to 1 Kings. Let's get this history. 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. I'm sorry, after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. All right, so what's going on here? If you're unfamiliar with this, King Solomon, the king of the whole empire during this time of Israel, he fell off. He fell off because he started dealing with these other women from other nations. And the Most High was very displeased with it. He started worshiping their gods. So he fell into idolatry. Verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Y'all see that, right? His wives turned away his heart. The heart's talking about the mind. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And you can see this, man. You can so see this, man. You get involved with a nation, they start swaying you slowly but surely, man. Like Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So this is what happened to Solomon. He started worshiping their gods. Reading on. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So his heart was not perfect. His mind was gone. He had these women had his nose wide open. He fell heavy into idolatry. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said, and I'm jumping down, y'all, for time constraints, because I'm going to get the history, but there's other stuff I want to get to. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done unto thee, and thou has not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. So this was the Most High declaring to King Solomon that, okay, your reign is over. I'm taking the kingdom from you. But this was the stipulation that he gave Solomon, verse 12. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So he's like, look, I'm not going to take it from you on the strength of your father David because he was so loyal to me, but I am going to take it, but I'm going to wait till after you're dead, and I'm going to take it from your son. I'm going to split this kingdom up when your son is at the helm, when he is in leadership. All right, now let's deal with that. Let's jump to chapter 12. Still in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 19. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And so we find out when it says Israel rebelled against the house of David, it's talking about the northern kingdom. They rebelled. They wasn't messing with Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites that were in this, what we call the southern kingdom. Now, this split happened around 930 B.C., y'all. This split happened around 930 B.C., You can see any encyclopedia, any biblical history books, they'll let you know this date is noted. This is the split of the kingdom. And this is very important as to understanding the New Testament. You want us to understand this. All right, where are we at? Verse 19 again. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. So it says the tribe of Judah only, but Benjamin also followed. Let me read verse 21 to show y'all. And when Jeroboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. So this is the split, and we're reading about how the southern kingdom was contained or made up by the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and then you had to have a priest in whatever land you went to. So some of the Levites were there. This was known as the southern kingdom. And what's interesting about this, y'all can look this up, after this particular split, but after the Babylonian captivity, which would happen further on down the line, that happened around 538 BC, I believe it was. After the Babylonian captivity, no, 586. After the Babylonian captivity, they started referring to the tribes of Judah, the tribes of Benjamin, and Levi as Jews, as the Jews. All right? It's very important to remember also as you get into the New Testament. So this was the split, once again, which happened around 930 B.C. Now I want to get some proofs to prove this, historical proof, a secular source, y'all. So let me go there. Let me pull it up. Here we go. Came right up. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, here it is. All right. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria. Oh, is that what I want? Mm-hmm. Hold on, let me make sure I got the right thing. Hold on, y'all. I'm trying to make sure I got all of this lined up right. I don't want to. I don't want to read the wrong thing. I think it's this one from live. Yeah, it's this one right here. I'm glad I caught that. All right, y'all. Give me just a second. I'll be right back, y'all. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, I'm back. So I found it. This is from livescience.com, and the headline reads, Ancient Israel, History of the Kingdoms and Dynasties Formed by Ancient Jewish People. All right. So it says, the term Ancient Israel is used by scholars to refer to the tribes, kingdoms, and dynasties formed by ancient Jewish people in the Levant. So when it says Jewish people, y'all, we just going to look over that. I know everybody's cringing. I'm cringing just to say the word, but it's talking about ancient Israelites. People in the Levant, an area that encompasses modern-day Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Scholars draw mainly on three sources to reconstruct the history of ancient Israel. Archaeologists' excavation, the Hebrew Bible and texts that are not found in the Hebrew Bible, the use of the Hebrew Bible can be challenging for scholars. While some of the accounts are thought by many scholars to be mystical, which is nonsense. Let me get to the point, man. Yeah, let me jump down. Because what we're looking for is the split. Here we go. Northern and Southern Kingdom. Yeah, matter of fact, I have it in my notes. I'm tripping. Northern and Southern Kingdom. After King Solomon's death in around 930 BC, the kingdom split into Northern Kingdom, which retained the name Israel, and Southern Kingdom called Judah, named after the tribe of Judah that dominated the new kingdom. Accounts in the Hebrew Bible suggest that grievances over taxes and free labor, that had to be done for the state played a role in the breakup, which they did. The Hebrew Bible says that at the time of the breaking up, an Egyptian pharaoh named Shishak launched a military campaign in the Levant, where he carried out a successful raid of Jerusalem, capital of Kingdom of Judah, and took war booty back home. Ancient Egyptian records, now listen to this, ancient Egyptian records say that around this time, a pharaoh named Shishan the First ruled Egypt. Shihan launched a military campaign into the Levant and conquered a number of settlements. According to these records, however, it's unclear from the surviving evidence whether he successfully attacked Jerusalem. Many scholars believe that the name Shishak and Shihan refer to the same pharaoh. Israel and Judah coexisted for about two centuries, although they often fought each other. Which we did. Israel also fought against a non-Jewish kingdom called Moab, which was located largely in modern-day Jordan, a 9th century BC spell created by a Moabite king discusses the conflict between Israel and Moab. It is now in the Louvre Museum in Paris. So the reason I'm reading this article, y'all, is to show how the Bible lines up perfectly with world history. So they got this Assyrian thing that they got on the wall, this Assyrian, what they call it, sculpture or whatever, and it shows basically a battle happening. But the reason I went here is to show y'all how I'm not making stuff up. The history lines up perfectly. So the Northern and Southern Kingdom, the Kingdom of Israel split around 930 B.C., during the death of Solomon, or after the death of Solomon, King Solomon. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and let's get verse 54. Because the Most High had prophesied this. Because remember what it said. Matter of fact, let me go back here and read. This part right here. So 1 Kings chapter 12. And matter of fact, Verse 19 again. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. So y'all see this, right? Now, what I want to get is the attitude that the northern kingdom had against the southern kingdom. Let me find it real quick. Here it is in verse 16. So 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. Let's start at verse 15. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shulamite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. I encourage y'all to go back and read this chapter, man. This is vital Israelite history that you have to know. You have to know this to understand the Bible, especially when you get to the New Testament. So what's going on, what happened was, Ahijah, this prophet, had cut up Jeroboam's garment into 12 pieces. And he gave Jeroboam 10 pieces, I believe he gave him. But that was to signify what the Most High had told Solomon before he died, that he was going to split the kingdom up. So this is what it's referring to in verse 15. Verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, this king talking about Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he wouldn't listen to them. Because what the people wanted was, they wanted not to work so hard, because they did a lot of work during the time of Solomon. Remember, we built the temple, and we also built Solomon's house. We built Solomon's porch. We basically built infrastructure for our city and made it the great kingdom that it once was. So a lot of work was done. So what they wanted was not to work so hard, and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, being the idiot that he was, listened to his partners, and he turned the people down and went messing with them. But as we find out in verse 15, the Most High put their spirit on. That's why it says it was from the Lord. So because the Most High was orchestrating all of this. Verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion, listen to this, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. So they were saying, man, what do we got to do? What do we got to do with the house of David, which was the house of Judah, because this tribe David was from? What do we got to do with Judah? No different than the so-called Mexicans, so-called Native Americans say, nah, man, we got nothing to do with you niggas. We got nothing to do with y'all. Y'all mind y'all business. We don't mind ours. Y'all ain't our people. We ain't y'all people. It says, to your tent, O Israel. Now see to thy own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So I hope y'all see this. This was the beginning of that hatred that we see going back and forth between blacks and so-called Hispanics, man. To the point where you get Hispanic brothers be darker than me, talking about me no Negro. But anyway, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 54. The Most High had prophesied this. Now watch this. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, I shall be evil towards his brother and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall lead. The point I want to focus on right here is how our eyes now are evil towards our own brothers and sisters. Even though we'll bring this history out showing that we're the same people. We all come from the same forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We all have the same God, worship the same God. We see the commonalities between one another, but we still want to insist that we're different and hold that hatred from one another. But because, and all of us as a whole, were breaking the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments, the Most High was like, all right, cool. Y'all want to hate each other? I'm going to make it so y'all really hate each other. All right, so let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17. Let's continue getting this history. Second Kings chapter 17, and we're going to start at let's go to 5, then we're going to jump. We're going to jump around a little bit. So, 2 Kings 17, verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. So, it's talking about the northern kingdom because the capital was Samaria. And this king of Assyria that it's talking about is talking about Shalmaneser. Let's get that. So let's jump to verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. So this is what it's talking about. We just read in verse 5, reading again. Matter of fact, let me just read straight through verse 4. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria. And he had, as he had done year by year, therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Reading on. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years, talking about the northern kingdom and its capital and the people. Verse 6. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in the harbor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So these were the Assyrians that came up against the northern kingdom, and this happened around 722 B.C. All right? Around 722 B.C., King Shalmaneser, even though I know Sargon likes to credit himself, and he was Shalmaneser's, I think, grandson, he likes to credit himself with taking the northern kingdom out of the northern kingdom and putting them in the lands, like we're going to read, in the lands of the Medes. Now, once again, this happened around 722 B.C. All right, now let's go to this other article, the master history of y'all. Here we go. This is the one I had earlier, but I need it now. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria about. So this is from Brainly.com. And it says, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria around the year 722 BCE. This event is often referred to as the Assyrian captivity or the Assyrian exile. Hope everybody see this. So this actually happened. This took place. The kingdom of Israel, which was composed of the 12 tribes of Israel, had a troubled history characterized by political instability, idolatry. That was the reason the Most High had the Assyrians come and smash on us, idolatry. It says in conflict with neighboring nations. Now, we had idolatry going on, plus the fact we were feuding back and forth with the southern kingdom. We was at each other's throats, y'all. So, like you see us today, going at each other, we was doing that back then. Plus idolatry, which we still doing to this day. The Assyrians, a powerful empire centered in what is now modern-day Iraq, began expanding their territories in the 9th century BCE. All right, so that's all I came here to get is to get the dates and to get a secular source, historical source to back what the Bible's saying. Now let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 13. And this is like a crash course, man, because I could like really go extensive, and I have in the past, but I'm trying to get to a point, man. But before I even get to the point, I have to give us a history lesson on what transpired so we won't be lost as it brings up to this day and age. All right, so 2 Ezra chapter 13 and verse 37. And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations which for their wicked life are fallen into the tempest. Now, this is talking about, this is Most High speaking. He's talking about his son, Yahushua, and when he comes back, he's going to prove it. We'll keep reading, verse 38. And shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame, and he shall destroy them without labor by the law, which is like unto fire. Talking about how Christ is going to destroy the nations. Reading on, verse 39. And whereas thou sawest that he gathered another peaceable multitude unto him, so Christ gathered another peaceable multitude unto himself, collecting us, right? Now watch this. Let's find out who they were. I gave it away, but I'm going to read it anyway. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoner out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king. In the Bible it says Hosea or Hosea. Here it says Hosea the king, whom Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land. So, for everybody that be talking about that Apocrypha, it don't go with the Bible, it's a made-up book. No, it fits hand-in-hand with the Bible because it's saying the exact same thing. I hope y'all see this. So, reading on, and it's basically saying everything we just read in 2 Kings. But reading on verse 41. But they took this counsel among themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen, the nations, the Gentiles, and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt. So they said they was going to go away to where no man had ever been before. Verse 42, that they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land. So the 10 tribes, their bright idea was, let's get the hell away from here and go where nobody at, so we can't be interrupted, and we can serve the Most High and keep the law, statutes, and commandments, which they didn't keep in their own land. We didn't keep it in our own land, so why the hell would we do it somewhere else? But this is the mentality of our people, man, because how many of brothers and sisters be doing bad in one city and say, oh, man, I'm just doing bad over here. I just can't get right, man. The streets keep calling me. This keep calling me. Woo, woo, woo. They got all these excuses. They say, I'm going to move. And then they move to another city, only to be doing the exact same thing that they was doing in the previous city they just moved from. I'm telling you, man, the Bible can't be talking about no other group of people but us. This is what we do. Reading again, verse 42, that they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land. And they entered into the Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river, for the Most High then shewed signs for them, and hell stood the flood, till they were passed over. For though that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half, and the same region is called Ashereth, which means new land, by the way. New land, new world, same thing, man. But this is what it translates to. So this is where the so-called 9.5 or 10 tribes, this is where they went. All right, so that was verse, 45, right? Now, let's get some history books. So, once again, this word, Ashereth, means new land, new world. So, when America was founded, what was it called? It was called the New World, all right, in case we didn't know that. It was called the New World. All throughout history, they refer to America as the New World, or when they're referring to Asia Minor, Europe, they call it the Old World. Africa, it's called the Old World. So that's the Old World. Over here in the Western Hemisphere, the Americas is known as the New World. So this is where the 9.5 came. This is where they ended up at. It's recorded in the Bible. Now let's get a history book, a secular source, that's basically going to prove that it is talking about the Americas. So this book here is titled The Aztec, all right? The Aztec. The History of the Indies of New Spain. And this is by Friar Diego Durant. All right? We're going to go to page 3. Now, like I said, y'all, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this history, but I am going to spend some time proving that the 9.5 or the 10 tribes did come over here. So I got several books on the floor dealing with this topic. But it's not going to be extensive like I've done in the past. So let's go to page 3. Oh, man, I didn't read all of this. Here we go. Because of all these things, my suspicions are confirmed that these natives are part of the 10 tribes of Israel, which Shalmaneser, king of the Assyrians, captured and took to Assyria in the time of Hosea, king of Israel, and in the time of Ezekias, king of Jerusalem, as can be read in the 4th book of Kings. I hope y'all hearing this. This dude is basically saying verbatim what we just read out of the Bible and out of the Apocrypha. Saying the same thing. Secular source. Now, what this dude is saying is, I guess I got to read it. Let me just jump up to a paragraph. There are many people who tell fables. Some say that the Indians were born of springs of water. Others say that they were born of caves, or that their race is that of the gods, all of which is clearly legend and shows that they themselves are ignorant of their origin and beginning. So what he's saying is, there are a lot of rumors as to where the Indians came from, the so-called indigenous people of the Americas. People have a lot of legend. But he said all of their little legends and all of their mythical sayings, he said they're ignorant. And a lot of people are, because a lot of people don't dig into this history or even are given the spirit by the Most High to put the pieces together. We know. They also profess to have come from strange lands, and I have found this depicted in their ancient painted manuscripts where they portray the great periods of hunger, thirst, and nakedness with innumerable afflictions that they suffered until they reached this country and settled it in. So he's letting you know that he's got the history of the journey that we read about in 2 Ezra. They said it took mainly 1.5 years. He's got all of that history showing how it wasn't an easy task. It wasn't something simple. Because remember, they said that no man had ever been to this region, to this part of the world. And think about it. If you go to a new area, a new place, you have to cultivate the land. First, before you even cultivate the land, you got to survey the land and see, hey, can we live here? Can we survive here? So this was not an easy task. And you think about it, how else were the so-called natives or Indians able to teach the so-called white man when he got here how to survive? Because they had done their research. They had done the research 1,000 times over. So they had knew which plants, hey, don't eat that plant. Then they knew which other plants was good for healing. They knew which crops were good for eating and which things, hey, don't eat that either. They already knew this. So this is what this dude is saying. All right, I want to jump to, let me see. I might need you to see her. Because I'm guessing nobody's here.
Nobody here.
Is she?
She's right here.
Hold on for a second, y'all. I need to make some adjustments. All right, y'all, I'm sorry about that. We are back, y'all. So we're still in the book, The Aztec, The History of the Indies and New Spain, page 3, at the bottom of page 3, y'all. Still proving that the 10 tribes came over here to the Americas. Read on.
Because of all these things, my suspicions are confirmed that these natives are part of the 10 tribes of Israel, which Shalmaneser, king of the Assyrians, captured and took to Assyria in the time of Hosea, king of Israel, and in the time of Ezekiel, king of Jerusalem, as can be read in the 4th book of Kings, chapter 18, where one finds that Israel was carried out of its own land to Assyria. It also says that this remote and distant country had never been inhabited before. There was a long and tedious journey of a year and a half to the region where today are found these people of the islands and the mainland toward the west beyond the seas. Other evidence found in Holy Writ that can be cited to prove this idea is that God, through Hosea, had promised to multiply these people like the sand of the sea.
And I already read that. That was my opening scripture. Now, y'all might hear a bunch of rhetoric and a bunch of lies about what was that damn bridge? The landmass that they claim that the Chinese walked over. Michelle, what's that damn landmass they say? It is the Bering Strait, I believe. They say that they walked over that bridge, and that's how the so-called Native Americans ended up here in this country. There's no proof of that. In fact, Deacon Athan did a great class a couple of years back, disproving that myth. I forget the name of the class, but y'all can find it. Y'all go to IUIC Hidden History and type in Deacon Ethan or Deacon Athan, and they'll pull up all his classes. But he did an excellent job and brought out proof beyond proof that theology about they walked over on the land bridge is not true. And as far as that DNA crap, y'all, I'm working on the class dealing with that nonsense, but I'm going to get to that. But read on.
And the fact that they have taken possession of the world shows clearly and manifestly how great was this multiplication. But leaving the biblical text and coming to what all of us saw in this.
Listen very carefully to what he's about to say. Read that point again.
But leaving the biblical text.
So he said, okay, Bible aside, this, what we saw, we couldn't denounce this. Read this.
But leaving the biblical text and coming to what all of us saw in this country, a thing that amazed us was the number of people found here.
He said, what amazed them?
The number of people found here.
He's like, man, there's a whole bunch of damn people here. For this to be the new world, for this to be something that Amerigo Vespucci, Columbus, whichever lie I want to tell, supposedly discovered, it's a lot of damn people here. This is what threw all of them off. This is supposed to be a new world. How did these damn people get here?
Right.
This is something that people never really ask themselves. You know?
This was observed by the Spaniards who came early to this country before the Great Plague, when so many people died that not even a third of the Indians who had existed here survived. And this does not include the innumerable men, women, and children who had been killed by the Spaniards during the conquest a few years earlier.
And they were killed by germ warfare. They were killed by murder. They were killed by a variety of different ways they was killed in, man. But they were murdered nonetheless. And the number was in the billions, not the millions, but the billions with a B. Billions. That's how many people were already here. I don't think we really fully understand that. It was that many people here. Now, let's go to Lost Tribes and Promised Lands.
Mm-hmm.
That one right there. And let's get page 187 and 188. We'll read the highlights.
Okay.
Yeah.
From Lost Tribes and Promised Lands, The Origins of American Racism by Ronald Sanders.
Wait a minute. Let me see that again. Wow, I didn't know it said that. The Origins of American Racism. Damn. All right.
Page 187. For with increasing frequency and conviction, Duran came to see elements of a Judaic character in the old Aztec religion.
Now, this is the same Friar's book that we just read, the Aztec. The Friar Diego Duran. This is who Ronald, what's his name, Ronald Sanders?
Yes.
This is who he's quoting. Three, which lets you know it's a reliable source of information. Whenever an author cites another author or gives another author for a source, it's usually true. Read.
At first, this tendency appears only as a fervent search for Jewish analogies provoked by Aztec customs, such as the eating of only unleavened bread on certain days of the year.
So he's saying that the natives ate unleavened bread on certain days of the year. What is that but Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, because they're on the same day. What is that but that? Read.
And the use of baths for purification. In time, this...
No, he said the use of baths for purification. Y'all can trace this back. That does goes back to ancient Israel, because you can cite Leviticus the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th chapter, where it's talked about using water for purification. We're going to take it a step further. You remember all the bathhouses that the Moors, who conquered Spain during the 8th century, I believe it was, all the bathhouses that they had over there? Do you remember that? So this has been in our people's spirit, in our people's DNA. You know?
In time, this begins to seem to Duran like overwhelming evidence that the Indians are indeed descended from the lost tribes of Israel.
From where?
The lost tribes of Israel.
No, but them ain't our people.
The lost tribes of Israel.
The Mexicans.
The lost tribes of Israel.
Them Indians.
The lost tribes of Israel.
They are our people. Read.
As for the abject condition of the Indians, it can now be accounted for in the classic way. This is...
Yeah, he said, as for the who?
As for the abject condition of the Indians,
mm-hmm.
it can now be accounted for in the classic way. This is God's punishment once again wrought upon the Jewish people for their sins.
He said it. What?
This is God's punishment once again wrought upon the Jewish people for their sins.
Is that page 88, 188?
Yes, sir.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
Just sit down here.
Matter of fact, before we keep reading, because this, read that part again.
This is God's punishment once again wrought upon the Jewish people for their sins.
Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. And read verse 15.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses
all
shall...
All these blessings?
All these curses...
All these cursings. Read.
Shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Continue.
Now, jump back to the book. Excuse me, Lost Tribes and Promised Lands. And read that part again that he said.
Mm-hmm. This is God's punishment once
God's
again.
God's punishment. You just read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. This dude even knew, man, this got to be God's punishment. These people must be the Israelites. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 28, read verse 48.
Okay.
Sorry. No, not 48. Verse 45.
Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
Keep reading.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign.
These curses going to be on the Israelites for a sign. Like this dude, what's his name, Ronald Sanders?
Well, I think it's Deuteronomy. Did she point out in the book?
Yeah. Ronald Sanders is quoting Fry Diego Durant and say, man, this is a punishment from God. But remember what Deuteronomy chapter 28, what verse is that? 46?
We're in 46 now. Mm-hmm.
46 said that the curses were going to be on the children of Israel for a sign. So Fry Diego recognized the sign. Like, man, hold up. This is not a coincidence. These have got to be God's chosen people because they match these curses. Reading on in the book.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want those continuous or just skip?
Maybe? No, keep reading.
Okay. The history that Durán then proceeds to tell after this introduction, which begins with the remotest Aztec past and ends in the conquest, becomes a tragedy that reverberates with the Jewish destiny.
Wow. A tragedy that reset reverts?
That reverberates with the Jewish destiny.
The destiny, meaning what? Prophecy. What was going to happen to us, which we just read in Deuteronomy. Read. Let me see. Jump down.
A Dominican friar called Francisco de la Cruz had declared himself the Messiah of a new world Christianity, which had to fight a war to the death against the Indians in order to bring on the final redemption, because they were the lost tribes of Israel.
So this dude had this illusion in his mind that he had to kill us off because he knew that we was what? The lost tribes of the children of Israel. Talking about those 10 tribes that came over to the Americas. Now, give me Deuteronomy 28, verse 68.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships.
So Egypt represents bondage. You can see Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Egypt represents bondage or slavery. So the Most High said he's going to bring us into Egypt again a second time. This time we're just going to go by way of what?
Ships.
By way of ships. Now, what did it tell us in 2 Ezra chapter 13? How did the so-called 9.5 get over to the Americas? Can we go back there, please? Chapter 13. Okay, so which? Yeah. Yes. Started. Yeah. Start at verse 40. No, matter of fact, start at verse 42.
2 Ezra chapter 13, verse 42. That they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land.
Talking about the 10 tribes. Read.
And they entered into Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river.
So the Euphrates is talking about the Euphrates River. How you enter into a river unless you got a what? A ship. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, says the Most High is going to bring us into captivity again by way of ships. Now, he ain't just talking about no cargo slave ships, y'all. It's talking about the ships that the 10 tribes took over here in the first place. I hope y'all seeing this. All right, from there, let's go to the book that came before Columbus.
Okay, so?
Yeah, let those go. Give me the book that came before Columbus. And we're going to get page 157 and 158. And it's funny, y'all, because they got a picture of the Aztec, Moctezuma, which, man, every time I see this picture, this picture of this sculpture, I was like, man, this is a nigga. I remember when my son Rapai was born, I used to say he looked like that head, that Aztec head. All right, what page are you on?
Page 157. From They Came Before Columbus, The African Presence in Ancient America by Ivan Van Sertima, page 157. Let us consider, first of all, the pyramids. They have a very long history in the Mediterranean world. The type found in America, the step pyramids, may be traced to ancient Babylon and Egypt.
What did he just say?
The type found in America, the step pyramid.
No, he says the type that's found in America, the step pyramid. Because we'll hear from other people, oh, there's pyramids all over the world. Pyramids were built, which is true. Because the other nations, we know those heathens, built pyramids to serve their deities. So we know that. But this dude, he gets so accurate as to say, hey, whoa, hold up. There are other pyramids, but the step pyramid, the ones that's found in ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt, the same ones were found here in the Americas. You know.
The type found in America, the step pyramid, may be traced to ancient Babylon and Egypt.
You can't make this stuff up right here, man. These are facts. Read.
It is also known by the name of ziggurat. The ziggurat, step pyramid, or step temple, is as distinctive a type of religious architecture as a Chinese pagoda.
He said it's distinct. You can't mistake it. It's very distinct. Read.
Or a Mohammedan mosque. It has been found nowhere in the old world without clear and incontestable proof of diffusion.
Y'all hear this? Read on.
It goes back 3,000 years before Christ. Among the most noted Egyptian step pyramids are the Pyramid of Djoser at Saqqara, 2750 B.C., and the Pyramid of Meidum, built for the pharaoh Sneferu, 2700 B.C. There were no pyramids in America before the quote-unquote contact period.
He said there was no pyramids in America before the quote-unquote contact period. The contact period he's talking about is the conquest of America. Before the so-called white man came here, he said that there was no pyramids. No, there were pyramids. It's just y'all had never seen them. They was already here. You see how Esau likes to act like time and everything exists with him, and if he don't see it and discover it, then it's not credible. Reading on.
800 to 680 B.C. The very first American pyramid or step temple appears at La Venta, the site of the colossal Negroid heads.
Colossal what?
Negroid heads.
Negroid heads. And he said this was where?
At La Venta.
La Venta. Where the hell is La Venta at? Does it say? Yeah, I know it's talking about the Americas. It ain't talking about Northern America. It's talking about either Central or South America. This is where the pyramids were found. Reading on?
And the steel on which is carved the Mediterranean-type figure with beard and turned-up shoes.
Mediterranean-type. Come on, y'all. It's talking about, when it says Mediterranean, it's talking about Middle Eastern, what they call the Middle East, or it's talking about Africa. Ain't no damn such thing as the Middle East. You know.
Other notable step pyramids in America are the Pyramid of Cholula, dedicated to Quetzalcoatl in 150 BC.
Quetzalcoatl, I believe this is the name that they had gave the Most High, the natives. Read.
And the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan near Mexico City.
Near where?
Mexico City.
Near where?
Mexico City.
But remember what he said. He said this step pyramid, the same that was found in Mexico City, were the same that was found in ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt during the time of who? The ancient Israelites. This is not a coincidence, man. Pyramids found in Mexico. Like I told y'all, before I even came into the truth, I knew this, that there was pyramids in Mexico.
We should also mention the Cerro Colorado Pyramid in the Chicama Valley in northern Peru, where the influence of the visitors to the Gulf of Mexico later diffused.
So not just in Mexico, pyramids found, in Peru also. That's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences, y'all. These same pyramids that were found in ancient Egypt are found here in the Americas. And coincidentally, they're found in these countries that these people that we're calling migrants are coming from. And we say they ain't our people. They taking our jobs. These people are our ancestors. We'll black folks, so-called black folks all day, every day, say, oh, yeah, we built the pyramids. Oh, yeah, we know we built the pyramids. You built the pyramids. We'll drop the truth on a brother and show him that we built these pyramids. Yeah, I already knew that. But tell them that so-called Mexicans had the same type of pyramids down in Mexico. Oh, no, you're making stuff up. We don't believe that. That ain't true. Did you finish that?
Yeah, finish this part this morning.
Keep reading.
It would appear from the above that the major criterion has been met. There is clear evidence of long evolution of a unique architectural configuration in the area from which the aliens are presumed to have come, and no evidence of antecedents in the area where they landed.
Now, what he's saying is there ain't no damn evidence of no aliens, because the first thing they want to say is aliens built the pyramids. And you know why they want to say that? Because they don't want to give black and brown people the credit of antiquity, of actually being there, of actually doing something so great and so wonderful that they're still scratching their head trying to figure out how the hell we built these pyramids. And I did a show on this when I was bringing out how the pyramids were an energy source. A source of energy that just was solar-powered temples or buildings, constructions. They haven't found any nails, any tacks, glue, anything like that, because these stones were placed in perfectly and cut out perfectly to lock in together something they call, what do you call it, Mishaba? Ductelling?
I think it's called, where you chisel out these pieces of stone,
dovetailing,
and they fit together precisely. That's how the pyramids was built. They still scratching their head over that. And of course, they can't give us the credit for it. So they have to say, nah, these niggas is too stupid. It had to be aliens to do this. But this dude is saying, ain't no proof of that. Do you know?
Suddenly, in the contact period, the ziggurat or stepped temple, a particular kind of Babylonian Egyptian pyramid, to appear in America. And not only is the design identical.
Well, this is the way he said, not only is it identical, read.
But like its presumed prototype, it is sun-star oriented.
He's saying it's the exact same pyramid. Read. As he said, it's like a prototype, you know.
And encircled by a precinct. Not only are the shape and religious function the same, but also the astronomical and spatial relationships.
And both of them were sun pyramids in homage of the sun. Now remember, the Egyptians were heavy sun worshipers. And we built those pyramids for them to worship their deities. Sadly, this is what the Most High always banged on us about, worshiping other gods. We brought that mess over here to the Americas and started doing it here. Y'all seen the movie Apocalypto? That was us. When the dude, you seen him on that big old pyramid, and he poured a dude's heart out of his chest and was eating on it? That was us. We was doing that. Sadly to say, we was doing that. That was us, y'all. We didn't know.
There is, however, one serious objection. The Egyptians, it would appear, had stopped building pyramids since 1600 BC, particularly this kind of pyramid. In other words, the American pyramid, if it was influenced by aliens in the contact period, would have had to come from an architect in the migrant group who was nostalgically returning to classical or early Egyptian architecture. The heyday of the Egyptian step pyramid was long over.
Man, you see how he clowning them with this alien nonsense? He's like, man, if the aliens did build it, they would have had to go get somebody from during that time in ancient Egypt that built the pyramid to confer with him to see if our blueprint right. Clown in their ass. You finished?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get Exodus chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1.
Verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm going to catch up with you.
Exodus 1, 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls.
No, when it says 70 souls, it's talking about his blood relatives. Because we know that our forefather Jacob, he carried everything that he owned into Egypt with him. And when I say everything, I do mean everything, including all the servants that he had received from his forefather Abraham, grandfather Abraham, and from his father Isaac. Y'all go back and read, y'all. Abraham had servants. Remember, it tells us in Genesis that Abraham armed his trained servants, and they went and massacred all those people to get his nephew Lot back. Remember that? And you remember how Abraham accumulated wealth
and servants when he was in Egypt, and they took Sarah. Remember, the Egyptian king gave him all that wealth and all them servants? So Jacob, our forefather, went into Egypt with more than just, it was more than just 70 people, y'all. All right? But read on.
For Joseph was in Egypt already.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation.
So all that generation died, read.
And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly.
So we grew even more, read.
And multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty.
Exceeding mighty. Now, the reason we waxed exceedingly mighty, because like I told you, we went into Egypt with great wealth anyway, with a bunch of servants anyway. Read.
And the land was filled with them.
Read.
Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
Mm-hmm. Now this new king, this new Egyptian king, read.
Come on, let us deal wisely with them.
Now, a lot of people say that the story of Exodus never happened. I want y'all to see a documentary on Netflix. It's called Patterns of Evidence, The Story of Exodus. And this Edomite, believe it or not, did a great job of research and found out that it actually happened. I mean, we already knew it happened. We know the Bible is real. We know the Bible is true. But this is just mainly for your FYI, for your information. Read on.
Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burden.
So this was the Egyptians, other black people, by the way, that was enslaving and working the hell out of other black people, but not the same black people. I want you to understand this. The Egyptians, the Africans, are different from the Israelite. You can see Exodus, what is it, 7:14, I believe it is. For real.
And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities.
Now, this is part I want to get to. The Israelites built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Read.
Pithom and Ramses.
And we built the treasure cities. What were in these treasure cities? The pyramids. The same ones we built when we got over here, sadly to say. Now, give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to jump around. We're going to start at verse 15, though. Read.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be.
Jump down to verse 21.
The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it.
So we're reading about the curses the Most High said was going to happen to us. And what are the curses he talked about? Pestilence cleaving to us till we be removed off the land. Read on.
The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword. And
now, listen, he mentioned all these diseases. These are physical ailments, diseases, viruses. Then he comes back and said, and with the sword. So I'm going to hit you with these plagues, these diseases, as well the sword, have you being murdered. Read.
And with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish.
Saying, okay, all these diseases are going to pursue you till you perish, as well as the sword, these weapons. Now jump down to verse 61.
Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed.
So the Most High is saying, I'm going to hit you with plagues or diseases that you ain't never heard of. Like what? Smallpox, syphilis. What else did they hit the natives with? Let's get it. Let's go to Open Veins of Latin America, page 18. Hold on, man. I'm sorry, this tea got me going. Be right back, y'all. Where we at?
Yeah. You said Open Veins of Latin America,
yes.
Page 18.
Yep.
Peace and free.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right there.
Yeah. From Open Veins of Latin America by Eduardo Galeano, 5 centuries of the pillage of a continent, page 18. Bacteria and viruses were the most effective allies the Europeans brought with them.
Read that part again.
Bacteria and viruses were the most effective allies the Europeans brought with them.
So he says the bacteria and viruses, which we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Most High say he's going to smite us with. Verse 61 again for reference. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. I hope y'all seeing this. This is not a coincidence. Read.
The Europeans brought with them like biblical plagues.
Like what?
Like biblical plagues.
Like biblical plagues, which we're reading about in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Read.
Smallpox and tetanus. Various lung, intestinal, and venereal diseases.
Smallpox and tetanus. They the reason we got to get a tetanus shot today. You know.
Trachoma, typhus, leprosy, yellow fever, and teeth rotting caries.
Because they're base, like it tells us in Job chapter 30. They're more valid than the earth. They brought all of this over. This is germ warfare.
Smallpox was the first to appear. Must not this unknown and horrible epidemic, which produced burning fever and decomposed the flesh, be a chastisement from the gods?
Oh, come on, man. Now, we already read Fray Diego's account. He said the exact same thing. Now, this brother here who wrote the book, he's saying it. Man, this has got to be from God. This is biblical. How all these people see that, but our dumbass people don't see it? Man, they may not be. Reading on. Matter of fact, how can we see this as it applies to the transatlantic slave trade and the selling of slaves when we got here? We can see all of that. We can see those ships, clear as day. But we can't see this right here. You know, most of it is out of ignorance. The fact that this history ain't being taught by our enemies. Of course they ain't going to teach this. Because they know that this is the link that we need between the two of us to say, oh, damn, we're the same people.
That's why this history is not taught. This is why they're trying to take the history, even the transatlantic slave trade, out of history books. But it's out of ignorance that we don't know this. But just because it's not being taught to us, how many of us are going to go and search this history out? I mean, because one thing we're good at as a people is having a damn opinion and running our mouth about stuff that we think we know and standing on. But you ain't got no damn proof. How about you go get the proof? If you believe that these ain't our people, prove it. Don't just go by your experiences that you've had with so-called Mexicans. Don't just go by the way you feel or how you've been discriminated against by them. Don't just go by that. Give some actual proof, please. You're walking around with a damn computer in your pocket. It's like we used to say in street teaching. Don't come up here with just your opinion. Bring some proof. The smartphone is acceptable. Read on.
The invaders moved into Tlaxcala, one native eyewitness reported, and then the epidemic spread. Cough, burning hot pustules, reported another. The contagious oppressive...
Is there burning hot pustules? Did we just read that in Deuteronomy? Hold on, wait a minute, y'all. Like 21, right?
Extreme burning.
It says the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning. Come on, man. Keep reading in the book.
Reported another, the contagious, oppressive, cruel, pustule sickness brought death to many. The Indians died like flies. Their organisms had no defense against the new diseases. Those who survived were feeble and useless. The Brazilian anthropologist Darcy Ribeiro estimates that more than half of Aboriginal population of America, Australia, and Oceania died from the contamination of first contact with white men.
Oh, my goodness. They died from just contact with the so-called white man. You know.
Firing their harquebuses, hacking with their swords, and breathing pestilence, the little band of implacable...
Now, remember, it says they was also using their what? Their sword. Going back to Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 22 again. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with sword. Read on.
The little band of implacable conquistadors advanced into America. The conquered tell us what it was like. After the Cholula massacre, Montezuma sent new envoys to Cortes, who was advancing on the Valley of Mexico. They brought gifts of golden collars and Quetzal bird feather banners. The Spaniards were in seventh heaven, says the Nahuatl text preserved in the Florentine Codex. They lifted up the gold as if they were monkeys with expressions of joy, as if it put new life into them and lit up their hearts, as if it were certainly something for which they yearn with a great thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Their bodies fatten on it, and they hunger violently for it.
I want you to stop at Temple to the Sun.
Okay. They crave gold like hungry swine. Later, when Cortes reached Tenochtitlan, the resplendent Aztec capital with 300,000 inhabitants, the Spaniards entered the treasure house. And they made a great ball of the gold and set a fire, putting to the flames all that remained, no matter how valuable, so that everything burned. As for the gold, the Spaniards reduced it and made bars. War followed. Finally, Cortes, who had lost Tenochtitlan, reconquered it in 1521. And by then, we had no shields left, no clubs, and nothing to eat. We weren't eating anymore. Montezuma, harried by the priests who accused him of treason, had killed himself.
Now, this is the account of the conquered, like it said, our brothers and sisters. Read.
Devastated, burned, and littered with corpses, the city fell. Shields were its defense, but they were not enough. Cortes had expressed horror at the sacrifices of the Veracruz Indians who burned children's entrails for a smoke offering to the gods.
They were burning us, were burning children's entrails to the gods. Now, remember what it said in 2nd Ezra. It said that we was going, our idea was to come over and serve the Most High, keep the laws over here that we didn't keep in our own country. We were still into idolatry. We were still killing our children. This is what King Solomon did. Matter of fact, I was just reading up on King Manasseh. He did the same thing. When he says, cause our children to pass through the fire,
mm-hmm.
They're serving the god of Molech. You're killing your own kids as a sacrifice to other deities. This is what we was doing over here in the New World. The same thing. I want you to stop at a temple to the sun.
But there were no limits to his own cruelty in the reconquered city, and all night long it rained on us. The gallows and torture were not enough. However, the captured treasure never measured up to the Spaniards' imagination, and for years they dug in the lake bottom, searching for gold and precious objects presumably hidden by the Indians. Pedro de Alvarado and his men fell upon Guatemala and killed so many Indians that it made a river of blood, which is called the Olimtepeque.
This is Guatemala. So guess what? The Maya people too. A river of blood. Read.
And the day became red because of all the blood there was on that day. Before the decisive battle and seeing Indians tortured, they told the Spaniards not to torture them anymore, and that the captains, Nahab and Ixquin, Nahab in the guise of an eagle and of a lion, had much gold, silver, diamonds, and emeralds for them. Then they gave them to the Spaniards, and the Spaniards kept them. Before Pizarro strangled and decapitated Atahualpa, he got from him a ransom of gold and silver weighing more than 20,000 marks in fine silver and 1,326,000 escudos in the finest gold. Then Pizarro advanced on Cusco. His soldiers thought they were entering the city of the Caesars. So dazzling was the capital of the empire, but they proceeded without delay to the Temple of the Sun.
So the Temple of the Sun, we were still worshiping the sun, just like we was doing over in Egypt. Now get Hosea chapter 4 and read verse 16. It was still sun worshiping. And you know what's so crazy about it? Niggas is sun worshipers. That damn niggas be talking about the sun god Ra or Ra. That's an Egyptian sun god. We still doing it to this day. The niggas go into Islam. The half moon. Still worshiping like the scripture says, all the stars of heaven. Read this.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 16. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer.
We did. When it says Israel, talking about the northern kingdom. Read.
Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols.
No, he's talking about the northern kingdom, which was led by Ephraimite,
by the name of Jeroboam. So it says Israel slid back as a, like a heifer. It's talking about the northern kingdom. Hosea, remember, was a northern kingdom prophet. So it says Ephraim is what?
Ephraim is joined to idols.
Ephraim's joined to idols. Idolatry. Talking about the 10 tribes that came over here. This is why those conquistadors found all them damn sun-worshipping temples and saw us killing our kids and stuff. Because we were still into idolatry when we made it to the Americas. Read it again.
Ephraim is joined to idols.
Read.
Let him alone.
The Most High, we were so bad into idolatry, the Most High had to tell the southern kingdom to leave us alone. Like, man, them niggas, they gone. Stop fooling with them. Stop dealing with them. Is that it?
How far did you want to go?
Yeah, verse 18.
We're on 18 now.
You finished it?
No, I started.
Read.
Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye.
When he's talking about the whoredom, he's talking about the spiritual idolatry. When he's talking about the drink, he's talking about the drink offerings that we were offering up these other deities. That it? All right, now let's jump to jump back to this book. Open Things of Latin America. And pick up where you left off at.
You said
Temple of the Sun is where we left off at.
Okay. Struggling and fighting among each other, each trying to get his hands on the lion's share.
The Spaniards, read.
The soldiers in their coats of mail trampled on jewels and images and pounded the gold utensils with hammers to reduce them to a more portable size. They tossed all the temple's gold into a melting pot to turn it into bars. The laminae that covered the walls, the marvelous representations of trees, birds, and other objects in the garden. Today, in the enormous bare plaza at the center of Mexico City, the Catholic cathedral rises on the ruins of Tenochtitlan's greatest temple, and the government palace occupies the site where
they built their little church on top of an old Northern Kingdom pagan temple.
And the government palace occupies the site where Cuauhtémoc, the Aztec chief martyred by Cortez, had his residence. Tenochtitlan was razed. In Peru,
and this is not nothing new, man. They build arenas on top of graveyards. Case in point, I remember when they were building, I believe it was the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis when the Rams used to play. They found Native American bones when they started excavating the land. And come to find out that the stadium they was about to build, they were building it on top of an Indian graveyard. So, yeah, this is what they do. You know?
In Peru, Cusco suffered the same fate, but the conquistadors could not completely destroy its massive walls, and this testimony in stone to the Inca's colossal architecture can still be seen in the bases of the colonial buildings.
All right. No, I didn't want that. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 48. Read.
Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst.
And what happened to our Peruvian brothers, our Mexican brothers, our Guatemalan brothers? What happened to them? ended up serving their enemies and still serving their enemies. Read.
And in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee.
Verse 49. Read.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar,
mm-hmm.
from the end of the earth.
From the end of the earth, the other side of the earth, the old world.
As swift as the eagle flyeth.
And they was coming as swift as the eagle flyeth, and coincidentally not, their emblem was what? The eagle. Whether it was the Spanish or the English, they all had the eagle as their emblem. Not a coincidence. This happened to our people, y'all. These so-called, what we call them, Mexicans. These people are our people, y'all. The same stuff that happened to us, so-called black people. I'm using the term us loosely because I'm really part of the 10 tribes that came over here, according to the research I did. And a lot of us are. We walk around and don't even know it. But those are our people. I hope y'all understand this. Now, y'all, this is going to be our last scripture. I know I'm finishing a little bit early. But I am going to continue this class, but I just, I wouldn't be doing it justice if I went into the next portion of the class right now. So, go ahead and finish it.
A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. A nation whose tongue thou shouldn't understand, meaning the language. Our brothers and sisters didn't understand Spanish when they got conquered by these cats. You know, I guess we don't put two and two together that, and we call them loosely the Spanish speaking tribes because they were captured and colonized by the Spanish-speaking Edomites. That's why they speak Spanish. We want to act like, oh, they were born speaking this language. This is their indigenous language. Just like we were captured, colonized, enslaved, and forced to speak English, like our brothers that live in the islands, in the what we call the Caribbean. They speak what? The Queen's English. Still running around talking about big up to the Queen. So because we speak different languages, we ain't the same people. We was just conquered, captured, murdered, and did the way we was did by Edomites who spoke different languages. The proof is in the language. Come on, man. I guess that really has not dawned on us, huh? Like they wanted to speak Spanish. This is about as bad as we wanted to speak English too, huh, I guess. And then what about our brothers on the island of Haiti? Well, I'm sorry, the island of Hispaniola. Let me say it more correctly. And what's interesting about that is you have the Spanish conquistadors on one side, and then you have the Edomites on the other side. So one side of our people speak French. The other side of the island of our people, they speak Spanish. And I'm talking about the Dominican Republic and the brothers in the country we call Haiti. I guess we ain't put that together yet, y'all. You see how we think we know everything, but we don't know nothing? Stuff be right in front of our face. We just have to put the clues together, connect the dots. Anyway, y'all, that was the 90-second mark. We're going to get off of here. I hope y'all got some edification from the class. I hope I wasn't going too fast. Hope you maybe saw some things that you never saw. The Water Mashab is looking up the broadcast. The Water, thank everybody for tuning in, Blog Talk. You got anything you want to say after that?
Uh-huh.
All right, y'all. We're going to go out to this, and we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.